call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is hour number two rolling along Championship Friday as we will continue to preview the NFL Championship games coming up this weekend. From the Eagles side of things, 45 past the hour, Eitan Shander is going to join us to talk about the Eagles, how they got here, how they have been building this, Jalen Hurts, and what it will take to beat a Niners team that has won 12 straight games coming in, and again, loaded and loaded on both sides of the ball. I want to get to the story that broke yesterday with the Carolina Panthers. They hired Frank Reich to be their head coach. And this is one of those stories where two things can be true. One, Frank Reich is a very good football coach. And Frank Reich would be a great football coach and a great hire anywhere. Last couple of years in Indianapolis, but you know what? That's an organization that keeps starting different quarterbacks over and over again, only do so much. Carson Wentz, when he didn't work out, Phillip Rivers did work out. They made the playoffs with Phillip Rivers, but this year with Matt Ryan was an absolute complete disaster, and the Colts decided that let's bring back the center, NFL analyst, former center Jeff Saturday. But Frank Reich is highly respected, good coach, solid coach, and he's a good hire. But on the flip side of it, the argument that Steve Wilks got kind of shafted here, that also can be true. When Matt Rhule got fired, the team was a mess, a complete mess. They went out and got Baker Mayfield. That didn't work. Rhule was a terrible hire. And Steve Wilks, who had 1 year in Arizona before, again, getting tossed for another head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, is now being pushed aside after leading the team to a 6-6 record over his final 12 games. I think we're 1-4 when Matt Rhule got fired. And Wilks, now, when people say he had the Carolina Panthers in playoff contention, he had the Carolina Panthers in playoff contention because the NFC South was terrible. You did not have the Carolina Panthers in playoff contention with, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, maybe if they won the last three games or whatever, they could be in the wild card race. But nobody was looking at the NFC South and seeing wild card teams. But nevertheless, he went 6-6 with a bad team, and he went 6-6 after they got rid of two good players, including the best player in the game in Christian McCaffrey. That was worthy of consideration. He won over the locker room. He had guys believing the team could win every weekend. When Matt Rhule was treating them like college kids on the pro level, Steve Wilks treated them like men who were professional athletes. And he got turned away. But he got turned away for a good coach. So again, both of these things can be true at the same time. Now, I would be very careful of people who, if you want to make the case about Steve Wilks, you're right. It's sort of sad that yet another black coach is not getting hired in this league. And it's a big problem for the NFL. But I wouldn't say that he got hired. He lost the opportunity to coach the Panthers because the Panthers were bringing in somebody we've never heard of. A 32-year-old offensive line coach, right? Or a TV analyst like what happened in Indianapolis. Steve Wilks didn't lose his job to just, let's try this one out. Frank Reich is a respected head coach. Frank Reich is a respected coach. Whether when he was a coordinator to when he was a head coach. It's a good hire for Carolina. It just has bad optics. Really, really bad optics. And Wilks' lawyer released a rather scathing statement, to be honest with you. Quote, "We are shocked and disturbed that after the incredible job Coach Wilks did as an interim coach, including bringing the team back into playoff contention and garnering the support of the players and fans, he was passed over for the head coach position by Dave Tepper." The statement continues, "There is a legitimate race problem in the NFL, and we can assure you that we will have more to say in the coming days." Remember, Wilks was also part of the lawsuit for Brian Flores over racial discrimination. Remember when he fired, it was a class action lawsuit against the NFL and all of the teams. Flores ended up on the staff of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Wilks, again, on Matt Rhule's staff, takes over 6-6. If they beat Tampa Bay at the end of the season, They had a real shot at winning that division. They'd have to beat the Saints the next week, which it didn't anyway. But after a 1-4 start, they finished 7-10. It's not that far away. But 7-10 is still a good little ways off from 9-8. I know it just seems like two games, but that's kind of a lot when you're winning only a handful. But nevertheless, I can see why people are angry about this. I really can. But the problem is that I still think, by the way, Frank Reich, and this was pointed out, was their first quarterback back in 1995. But I don't know if that counts. Is that too far? Can Frank Reich sell the I'm coming home angle? I don't think so. It was just a quarterback for 1 year before they got Kerry Collins.
You got to play it, man. I'm home.
Why don't you do that? Yeah, why don't you say... You know, Reich played at Buffalo, played a couple, happened to land at Carolina the year they came into existence. Might as well play it up if you can. But yeah, Wilkes has got a legitimate case. He's now been turned down for two jobs. He was in Arizona. He did a good job given what the cupboard had. And this was probably one of the best coaching jobs an interim coach has done in a while given the disaster of that team.
Almost got him in the playoffs.
I mean, think about the obstacles that Carolina had going into this season, right? The whole team, they get Baker Mayfield. He doesn't work out. They have to go to PJ Walker. Then they have to go to Sam Darnold. So that's three quarterbacks that they used this season. They traded Christian McCaffrey. They also fired the head coach. So now you have to bring in another voice. He has to take over a locker room that's now 1-4. They just fired the head coach. That might have been a relief to a lot of guys. It probably is. But remember, it's still an upheaval. It's still a distraction. It's still an obstacle. And yet he goes, no, we got it. Don't worry. We may not be the most talented team, but we're going to go out there and win some games. And they did. And they
then
won
you get
six,
rid of your quarterback that you just brought in.
Right, exactly. Then they got rid of the quarterback. So it wasn't like he was kicking around. They got rid of him.
They got rid of him.
Right? So they spent a little capital to get him. They get him, and he absolutely doesn't work out, and they let him go. And he goes to the Rams, where he wins a couple of games.
And then you got to go back to the original quarterback you had at the very beginning of all when all this began in the season.
Exactly.
I mean, the only thing left for him to do, for Wilkes to do, is go ahead and sue the NFL, because that'll guarantee you get a good job somewhere else.
Yeah, it seems to be. I was really wondering when Brian Flores filed that lawsuit, what would happen to him. And the Steelers were able to say, "Yeah, come on in." Even though the Steelers were part of the 32 teams, even though Mike Tomlin is a black head coach.
Yep.
Right? They still went, no, we've got to sue everybody for this. So Steelers are like, we've had three coaches in 50
Does
years.
Does the team owned by the Rooneys follow the Rooney rule?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, but no, this is again, I'd love to crap on the Frank Reich hire, right? Like, I'd love to. I can't. It's a good hire.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, Frank Reich, I still don't think was a bad coach.
No, he's a good coach.
I mean, the Colts just gave him possibly the worst situation ever.
How many seasons in a row have the Colts used a different starting quarterback?
Says Andrew Luck.
Yeah, right. Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan. That's five.
Wasn't Nick Foles in that mix?
Nick
Foles was the Bears. I'm sorry.
Right. That's five. That's five straight seasons. Right? Washington has gone seven seasons with a different starting quarterback at the start of the year. I mean, that's crazy. So, yeah, look, the Colts, I mean, when Phillip Rivers was on the team, the Colts gave the Bills all they can handle in the playoffs, came up short. But other than that, it's a really hard thing to keep bringing in new quarterbacks. And you can't really get a real consistency. You can't learn from something and go into the next season with something. You can't. And Reich was basically given Matt Ryan, who's 38 years old. And I think you know, he works well with quarterbacks, etc. But if Wilkes had gone 4-8 since taking over, I don't think you'd have people going, oh, this is outrageous. You have people going outrageous because Wilkes did a good job with the unbelievable season of all sorts of topsy-turviness that went on in Carolina.
All right, here you go. So since 2018, that was the last year Andrew Luck played.
Right.
And he started all 16 games that season. Since then, and I'm not just saying for starting the season, I'm saying, you know, the entire one.
The entire one, four, five, six.
They've had seven different starting quarterbacks.
Wow. Hard to be consistent when you have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, Reich was a good hire, but I think Wilkes does have a beef here. And the league does have a problem with this, man. They really do. There are just no blackhead coaches in this league outside of a few.
We kept pointing our finger and saying, you know, Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy is doing pretty good over there.
I really want to know what's going on with Eric Bieniemy.
I think it seems like we passed him by.
Is there something in the interview process where he blows it or something? Because I keep waiting for him to get a head coaching job.
Yeah, and don't you
I get told but, every year he should be a head coach.
But don't you get the feeling now that the NFL has passed him by, like the Bieniemy thing is done now? Now we're looking at, what's his name? The defensive coordinator for the Niners.
D'Amico Ryans. I think the Denver Broncos are getting more and more impressed with D'Amico Ryans, and that's why they haven't gone, you know what, Sean Payton's the guy. My feeling in Denver is that there is somebody in that room going, you know what? I know you don't want us to hire our fourth first-time head coach, but D'Amico Ryans is so red hot right now, we would be foolish not to go after him. Sean Payton, steady hand, veteran head coach, all of that. But my God, is the buzz around this league around D'Amico Ryans, and we need to be at the head of that parade. And I think they will be.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time as we roll along. Good Friday to you. All right, so again, we'll get back to conference championship chatter and NFL chatter. But we got the good of the day to get you into the weekend.
Good of the day. Well, this will take you all the way through the weekend into Sunday.
All right.
Possibly into Monday. And this is for the females out there.
Yes.
Because one Joe Burrow might be the hottest man in the NFL.
Right. That's what I keep hearing.
I mean, with all these videos are popping up, has pushed him to become the number one trend. Or I don't know if he's the number one trend or number one searched person on TikTok.
I told you, I saw that video and I laughed hysterically with that guy saying, you think your girl doesn't know football? Ask who the quarterback of the Bengals is.
Yep. Since then, I've seen about five different types of videos all centered around the same thing. You know, which is just, you know, a picture of Joe Burrow and then a woman popping up going, yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, simple.
There was, what's that girl's name, the gymnast at LSU?
Olivia Dunn.
There were people telling Olivia Dunn, you should date Joe Burrow.
Yes, why not?
Like somehow athletic royalty in Baton Rouge should be going together. Just like when A.J. McCarron dated Miss Alabama. It was like they ended up getting married. It's like, you might as well. You're Prince Football and she's Miss Alabama. It goes together like, you know, like
pancakes and syrup.
Pancakes and syrup. Olivia Dunn, Instagram, gorgeous young lady. Might as well go get the Joe Burrow. Yeah.
Why not?
He's very popular with the ladies of the United States.
It's weird. It is very strange because, I mean, his star, this meteoric rise of him is, I don't really know if I've seen it in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. It's really crazy. It's we were just talking about this week.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the on-the-field stuff.
Right.
But it's the off-the-field that, you know, it's starting to become Joe Namath-esque.
It really is.
I haven't seen him in, like, one commercial.
No, I don't see him in commercials either. I don't see him in commercials. That's really funny. I don't see him in commercials either. He's not really been marketed as much.
He might be now.
Am I missing it?
No, I mean, probably.
Like, I would say
outside of Cincinnati. I'm certain he's doing things in Cincinnati.
Hi, I'm Joe Burrow. Please go to Pete's Diner. It's got the best.
But outside of Cincinnati, I don't think I've seen him in one thing.
Right.
I feel like that's going to change soon.
Oh, without a doubt. Patrick Mahomes is all over my TV selling the insurance.
Yep.
or anything else. You might as well.
Just need to win one Super Bowl, Joe, and you'll never – well, he's never going to work a day in his life again. But you'll never have to – I don't know what in his life.
Right, I don't know. I don't know. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, a lot of it's very like some of the, like my daughter's friends. They're all into Joe Burrow. She's a senior in high school. They love Joe Burrow. They love him.
Yep.
He's the Timothy Chalamet of NFL quarterbacks.
All right.
That's how you know I am a father of a young teenage daughter.
Timothy Chalamet is. Okay.
I know who he is. I had to ask
like a Chris Hemsworth.
This is I got to watch more movies or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Apple Apple had an ad, right? And it had that kid Chalamet on, and he's in there complaining, not really complaining, but he's wondering why he doesn't have an Apple series. And like Jason Momoa has an Apple series and Leonardo DiCaprio has an Apple series and he doesn't. But there's one shot of him being in a car and there's just girls pawing all over the car. So I said, Amberly, come here for a second. Who's this? I didn't even know who he was. I go, who is this? And she had to explain to me who he was. And then she said, did you see this? I go, yeah. He's in that. Oh, okay. Like, I didn't know he was that popular. So now I know who he is. He's the Joe Burrow he's the Joe Burrow of acting. Can we go down that road?
Maybe.
I don't want to say Joe Burrow is the Timothy Chalamet. I don't know much about this actor, but I want to say that Timothy Chalamet is the Joe Burrow of the acting world.
Timothy Chalamet up right now, so
yeah.
No, I'm getting a better idea. I have heard the name. I just, you know, you show me a picture of him, I don't think I ever would have guessed.
I had to be reminded of what movies he was in. So to me, is he a movie star?
I think he is.
If I don't know what movies he's in, or am I too old?
I think we're too old.
I think
to
we're
know
too old to
star.
Know that. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, she went through a couple of movies, and I'm like, never saw it. She goes, did that? I go, oh, yeah, I did see that.
It looks like
that.
He's going to be in a new movie called Wonka.
Wonka, yeah. I had to look him up, too. I was like, all right, fine. But Joe Burrow is the new guy, man. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Tony, is, you'll enjoy this one, Oreo.
I love Oreos, man. I'll eat a whole box.
I know. Hold on. We'll get to that in a second, because they're dropping a new flavor, Tony.
Are they?
And it's going to be the most Oreo ever. That's the actual name of the Oreo.
Right.
Because the cream is a cookies and cream. The cream is actually infused with broken pieces of Oreo cookie.
Okay, wait. Is this like when you look into a mirror of you looking into a mirror, like you looking into a mirror and
so,
it just
yeah.
goes on for eternity?
Kind of like that, yeah. You'll look at the Oreo cookie and then you'll see the cream and there will be bits and pieces of Oreo cookie inside the cream.
Oh, God.
Now, here's where the bad is, and I'm going to read it how I wrote it, okay? Unfortunately, it will not hit store in time for you, Tony, to have one more conference championship challenge.
That's right. Exactly.
Debuts in stores January 30th.
This is awful. Awful, awful, awful. So when I was in college, I'll reset the story. When I was in college, my roommates and I decided we're going to have championship fun, got a bunch of snacks. I bought a box of double stuffed Oreo cookies. And from the moment kickoff happened to all the way through the end of the game, I kept eating these cookies. And I was eating them for, 7 hours or whatever?
Yeah.
I got to the end of the game and I had like 5 or 6 Oreos left. And my roommate said, you got to eat all of them. You got to eat a whole box of Oreos by the end of the game. And I wasn't sick of the Oreos. That's what's really bizarre. I wasn't like, you know how you see like these eating shows? But that's trying to consume something in a short amount of time.
Oh, I'm sure if you polished them off in an hour, you probably would have been
I'd probably be sick. But I ate like 4 or 5. Eat them 4 or 5. And again, young, much healthier, right? If I did it today, my wife would take me to the emergency room.
Heart was probably still pumping really
probably,
hard.
But it could handle it. I was like 20. You know what I mean? So I'm eating them. I finish it. And then afterwards, I sat back and went, I ate a whole box of double stuffed Oreos. Not in a whole day, in the process of 2 championship games.
Yeah. And that's why I bring this. That's why I brought this one up. I put it in the bat of the day because I would have loved for you to try the most Oreo and take on your own self-imposed challenge.
I would have to go to a cardiologist, but if he gave me the clearance and said, you know what? Go ahead. As long as you,
you only live once, Tony.
Just do it. I would try it again. I love him. Yeah. I love.
But keep your eye out for him.
I will definitely get him when they come.
And it'll be easy because you know normally they're in a blue bag Oreos.
Right.
This is like a black and white bag.
Oh, very good.
So it's very. I mean, you could totally tell with the most. You know that it's the most Oreo, and it says the most Oreo ever.
By the way,
the name of the cookie.
I don't recommend you eating a whole box of Oreos, no matter how young you are.
No,
don't.
No, I think
it was pretty dangerous. But I did it. So it's on my list of accomplishments in my life that I hope when I leave this earth, somebody mentions it at my memorial.
Well, maybe that'll be your tombstone.
Maybe it'll be
the shape of an Oreo cookie.
Tony D lived a very long and fruitful life. He ate a whole box of double stuffed Oreos for the 1992 AFC and NFC championship games. Like that would be great if somebody could mention that. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that after a great showing at this year's World Cup, Tony.
Yes.
The U.S. men's national team is now without anyone in charge.
Well, tell me what's going on there.
So, you know, they put their coach on leave.
Right.
Because of the whole fiasco with Gio Reyna. We talked about this a while back. Soccer mom was a little upset.
Yeah, but it stemmed from a 1991 incident, right?
Well, yeah. Like that? It started with Gio Reyna's parents leaking a story that happened, 19 years ago about current head coach kicking his then girlfriend, but now wife of 31 years. Or I guess not 19 years ago, when they were 19, I should say.
Right, sure.
But his wife of 31 years or, you know, something like that. So he is on leave. He's, you know, he was replaced by an interim coach. He hasn't been fired yet. So just keep that in mind, all right? But he's on leave. Since then, the general manager, Brian McBride, he told everyone that he was going to leave the U.S. Men's National Team program shortly before the World Cup started, that he was taken off. And then this week, Ernie Stewart, who was the sports director of the U.S. Men's National Team, he quit to take on another job. So literally, they are without the sports director, head coach, and general manager. It'd be like the Buffalo Bills losing the president, the head coach, and general manager after a great season.
All right. Well, they better get their act together.
Yeah, it's not like these 4 years are important, Tony.
Yeah, let's get their act together. We were really excited. We're going to be excited when they have games here in the United States in 4 years. Get your act together, U.S. soccer.
That's the best young team we've had in a long time.
Exactly. Eitan Shander coming up in 20 minutes. Talk Philadelphia Eagles.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, Eitan Shander is going to join us. Good friend of the show. How do we describe Eitan? He's a media mogul, isn't he? I mean, he's on everything.
He is Philadelphia.
He is Philadelphia.
How about that? We can't call him Mr. Philly.
Yeah, right.
Because I think that name has been given to someone else, and we're not about stealing people's names that they've had him for years.
You know what? We could just say friend of us.
He's definitely friend of us.
Like, we should say that. We should say, like, we don't know how else to describe you, but friend of us seems to be good.
Yeah.
Like, he's on TV. He does gambling stuff. He does Philly stuff. He's on podcasts. I mean, he's got
radio.
Radio. He's got a little empire.
I'm certain he does print.
Yeah.
Just
I'm sure.
Because.
I'm sure he writes some stuff.
Yeah.
So, but he's one of our good friends in the industry.
Or is interviewed for print. I don't know.
You can hear him on this network occasionally. He jumps on this network
on
fill-in basis.
I have a list right over here of contacts, you know, so all the producers know which numbers to call. I mean, he's top billing for fill-in host.
That's right. Eitan is that he's well respected in the biz.
He's that guy.
But he's also our Philly insider, and we'll get his insight into Philadelphia.
He's going to Philly us in.
That's right.
On the Eagles.
I know. Give us Philly. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah. They take on San Francisco this weekend.
That's terrible.
I know, but why not, right? We're heading into football weekend. So, Ron, how long have we been doing this show together now? Oh, going on 5 years?
Yeah.
Right? So I think we work well together. I think we're a pretty good pairing, wouldn't you say?
I would say we are.
Yes. As good as Disney Plus and Hulu? That's the big question, right?
I would say that, too.
All right, so Disney Plus and Hulu, that's a package that you can get. Now, if you love the Disney movies and you like the Disney product that they've got, whether it's Star Wars or the classic movies or the new series that they're putting
out, Marvel,
all of that.
Or even
pair
like
it up with Hulu.
National Geographic specials.
I saw they've got the National Treasure series.
Yes.
On I thought that was great. I got to start watching. I love those movies. I thought those were great.
You know
those
what? Underrated.
Movies.
Underrated.
Underrated, yeah. Those are the kind of movies you throw on. You're like, I'll just ride with this for a while.
And then
I know
you're
how
stuck.
It goes, but it's fun. Yeah, you watch it. It's funny dialogue. Nicolas Cage is good.
I got young kids in my house. Disney Plus is
always on. Your Star Wars fan, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Andor got great reviews.
I still got to get into that.
Get into Andor.
I know, it's a slow burn, but it's great.
I'm
a huge Star Wars nut. I don't know what's gotten into me. Yeah, it's probably because I've been spending a lot of time watching old shows on Hulu.
That's right. And Hulu brings you new shows, old shows. You can get Cheers. You can get all sorts of the old stuff you grew up with.
MASH.
You also get some new stuff. MASH. I have a fondness for MASH because I grew up when if I heard the MASH theme, I was supposed to be sleeping in my house. So if my parents were in the living room and my brother and I's room was just off the living room in the first house we grew up in. But if my parents, if I could hear dun 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 dun, I was supposed to be asleep. MASH was not a show I was supposed to be up for.
Well, but, you know, now if you miss an episode, you can catch them all.
That's right. Now you can catch them all. So get pair it up with Disney Plus and Hulu. It's a great pairing, just like Ron and I, peanut butter and jelly, Disney Plus and Hulu. Ham and burger. That's good. That's good. I like that. So, again, all the good shows that you're liking, some of the new stuff, the old stuff, Disney Plus and Hulu. All right. So, again, we've been buzzing about what we got this weekend in the conference championships. Did you know the golf is wrapping up on Saturday? Didn't want to touch the conference championship, so the Torrey Pines Farmers Insurance Open started on Wednesday and is wrapping up on Saturday.
Can you blame them?
I don't blame them at all.
I don't blame them at all.
It's a smart business plan.
I mean, you know you're not going to get any eyes on you Sunday because when's that tournament wrap up? You know, that's a West Coast thing, so probably around 3, 4 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's watching you.
It's not it's a good event, but it's not a major. But you want some eyeballs on it, so you might.
It attracts stars because.
And by the way,
like the top golfers love playing Torrey Pines.
Torrey Pines, it's a great course. This is why the Phoenix Waste Management Open is somewhat popular because they play. They used to play. I think they still do, but I never know with the changing, fluxing schedule. But for years, they were the tournament that was played on Super Bowl Sunday. But they had an early start. They would get those guys out there,
yeah,
so that broadcast would wrap up, and you'd get a winner, and then you could kick it over, and you could watch the last hour or so of pregame before you would get the Super Bowl. So they were pretty smart in that. They were like, nah, we're not going to have guys walking up 18 when they're in the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
Nah, that's what I did 1 year.
Yeah.
When I lived in Arizona, we literally lived right down the street from TPC at Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And we went on that Sunday, walked around, had a great time, but left early because we're like, you know what? We got plans. We have things to do. We got dip to make and snacks to be had. And we, you know, like I said, we were a block away. So we walked home and plenty of time before the game. It was perfect because, you know what? There's not too much pre-game coverage anyways.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, why not take in some golf?
So you might as well. This is one point I had to make with so Formula One races around the world, but they're coming to Vegas in November. And the international Twitter community of Formula One is kind of mad because the race is starting on a Saturday night in Las Vegas. And I'm like, guys, first of all, it's the night race. You want it under the lights. I said, but please, don't tackle NFL football. The U.S. Grand Prix has to do it. Don't do it. You're not going to win. You know, if you're trying to draw the audience in the eyes, you're not going to win when it's on in the daytime. It's best to know where you stand so you can capitalize on other times, right? Other times where you can run your event, have your event, but don't go up against the machine like the NFL. It's impossible. It's impossible. You've got these two games. They're going to draw $50 million apiece, these games. That's a lot of TV viewers. These games are incredible in terms of ratings. If you're golf, if you're NASCAR, you wouldn't do anywhere near. You have a hard time with it as of itself on your schedule. But, you know, NASCAR's not running now. But, I mean, if you're whatever event that could run against this, you're dead. You might as well alter your schedule. That's just the way it is. So, I mean, look, I was saying this earlier. The Super Bowl is enjoyed by so many people, right? People who don't care about the sport. But the conference championship games, this is where us as football fans, this is kind of our nitty-gritty. We don't really have to share this one to anybody. I've been too many times at too many Super Bowl parties where I've explained how the teams are, who they are, who to watch. I get that all the time. If I go to a Super Bowl party, I get asked, hey, can you tell me about these two teams? If I went to a conference championship party, and I don't know if they exist, I wouldn't get asked that. No one is at a conference championship party that is watching it for fun. You're not getting new commercials.
True.
You're not getting a halftime show.
I never thought about this.
Right? You're not getting a halftime show. You're not getting red carpet treatment from celebrities. You're not getting any of that. You might get some good national anthems. There's some good singers. They'll bring celebrities out to do the national anthems. But you're not getting the pomp and circumstance. You're getting football. That's it. Football. That's it. When they go into the locker room, they're just going to go to a studio. They might show you a couple of things that's going on. Was it Kansas City? This is going to bring back funny memory. Was it Kansas City, Cincinnati, where they had maybe it was a year ago or 2 years ago, where they set the guys up next to the speakers and they had the band, the group playing, and you couldn't hear a word that the crew said because somebody went, yeah, let's set up right here. And then somebody went, yeah, here's our jumbo speakers. And you couldn't hear a word that they were saying. I think it was a couple years ago. But they'll bring it to a studio. They'll break it down. And there's no halftime show. Nobody's setting up an elaborate half an hour halftime show. It's football for football. And that's one of the reasons why this is, I mean, I love Super Bowl weekend, but it's almost on the same scale because I get two games that matter. And as I said at the top of the hour, I think the thing about this weekend that I like the most is there really is a finality to this that is different than in the Super Bowl. We can remember you if you lose a Super Bowl, but we will forget you tomorrow if you lose a conference championship game. I mean, it's really that fine line is there. And that's at stake for Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but it's really at stake for Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy. One of those guys is going to not go to the Super Bowl, and we may forget how good they were as the years progress. But Cincinnati, I'll give you an example. The Cincinnati Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year, lost to the Rams. But because they have Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be a megastar for a long time, barring some catastrophic injury or something, but it looks like 10 years from now he's going to be Joe Burrow, as we talk about Rodgers and Brady and older quarterbacks who've been in the league a long time, Roethlisberger, Manning, a guy that's just consistently in the playoffs, great, leading a great team to championships. But we can remember him losing to the Rams because we can remember how they got there. Yeah, they played the Super Bowl. They upset the Chiefs that year, remember? Remember they were trailing in the first half and then they came back and won the game? Maybe the nitty-gritty details we forget, but we can remember generally, right? But does anybody remember the Tennessee Titans when they played in the AFC title game a couple of years ago? I bet you didn't. I bet you forgot they were there. There's a whole bunch of teams that played in the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game that are 5-6 years ago, and we barely remember them. So that's why this weekend is not only big for the winners, because if you get to the Super Bowl, but the losers, everything you accomplish is going to be forgotten. My heart.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, still working on Eitan Shander on our guest line to talk about the Eagles, again, hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Such a compelling game, given both of these teams and what a remarkable season they've had, of course. But they don't have the same sort of, star power, if you will, I guess. I mean, that's a bad word to use because they got Christian McCaffrey and a number of other great players. But when you look over at the AFC, Mahomes and Burrow, like that's the headline. That's your boxing match. That's your top card. But now you've got the Eagles, who have gone, again, 14-3. Two of those losses came without Jalen Hurts. You got the Niners who won 12 in a row. And I think there's so many compelling angles to this. Eitan Shander on a Progressive guest line. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. You know, you do so much, my friend. We didn't know how to bring you in and describe you. So we just said friend of the show. Is that good? Is that good enough for you?
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever you want. And look, here's the thing. I'm obligated to be on now because you took time out of your day when you were off and came on when I was filling in for the network of couple of weeks ago. So even if I told Ron Culver, like, no, I'm busy today.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. But, man, you got everything going on, TV, radio, blogging, online, everything. You got it all going on.
No more radio unless I'm here.
Oh, okay, very well.
Oddshopper, yeah, oddshopper.com and Fox 29. That's the easy stuff.
Good stuff. So this Eagles team, give us the brief history, if you can, about how we went from Super Bowl champion a couple of years ago to breaking it down, building it up, and now we're at a one game away from another Super Bowl appearance.
So the Eagles did something in 2017 that's just not really possible, or is possible, but it's not really probable, is probably the better way to put that. And that's win a Super Bowl without your quarterback being one of your best players, if not definitively your best player. And that, I think, was a misnomer for the reason why they were so successful. They were successful because Carson Wentz, granted, was having an MVP caliber season before he went down, but that team was so tight and so strong in certain areas, like the trenches, for example. They had a defensive coach who could have been a head coach in Jim Schwartz. They had a guy in Doug Peterson whose culture and message was not lost on any set of ears in that locker room that year, to where when they lost Carson Wentz, internally, there was no, oh my goodness, we're you know what, SOL, what have you.
Right.
They were able to just respond. So that was a unique set of circumstances, Tony. That's not you can't copy and paste that in the NFL. Oh yeah, let's just get everything but the quarterback. And Nick Foles played his tail off. We love him. We put a statue up here. What happened after that, and I'll fast forward, they found a franchise quarterback. They found Jalen Hurts, and they were able to use the same mentality and approach that they had in 2017, except the only difference is that Jalen is the real deal.
When did you guys figure that out in Philadelphia? Because at the beginning, everyone was wondering, well, is this the guy? Is out? What does he have to show? Went to the playoffs the year before, and I know they got beat pretty badly by Tampa Bay, but it's still a playoff appearance. What was the conversation like in the summer, and when did it start kicking in that this team is winning and could be a number one seed?
So I have to give a shout to a couple of boys down in Nashville. And, you know, I'm not going to mention a local station, et cetera, because of the network and all. And this is where I am. My allegiance is with here, SportsMap. But, you know, I was talking to a couple of guys in the summer, Tony, about something Jalen Hurts said about, hey, I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at tape and I'm going to work at throwing. And the area that he truly needed to grow, reads, progressions, arm strength, confidence in his throw deep downfield, on the run as well. And I was having this conversation, and my buddy who does radio down there, he cut me off. He said, he's going to do it. Just watch. Everything he says, he'll do. And I'm thinking like, come on. And then we started to see that week one, week two, week three. And I went back and I kept bringing this conversation up for the first 2 or 3 months. And anybody who has any connection with Jalen Hurts in either place that he went to school will say the same thing. This is a coach's son who, if he tells you something, he's going to do it. That was all it took. He did it this year, Tony. He did exactly what he told us he was going to work on in the offseason, to the point where it looks the improvement Josh Allen made minuscule. That's when it was like, okay, this is a complete package and a young man who's serious. He loves the game. How can you not love that?
How complete is this season? I mean, we can get into the nitty-gritty details of what they could do a little better, but when you go 14-3 and two of those losses are without your star quarterback and one dud game that everybody seems to have, how deep do you have to go to find some things that could be a problem for them in this game against San Francisco?
So real quick, I'm not, this isn't pushback, disagreement, nothing like that. I wouldn't call the Washington game a dud game.
All right.
And I assume that's what you're referring to.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Here, and look, here's the only reason why. That's how you beat this team. The problem is the reason why the Chiefs have won so much, so often, is because the other coach on the other sideline is constantly stuck in his head saying, we got to throw the football. We got to throw the football. We got to score points. Patrick Mahomes is going to score 35 points. We got to get 36. That's the mentality that a lot of teams were falling into early in the season with the Eagles because they saw them explode. Now, Ron Rivera, I mean, maybe he just backdoored his way into a six-leg parlay and, you know, luck happens, but they did not waver from their game plan, no matter what. If San Francisco applies that same mentality and they're not down 14-0, that's how you beat them. But to your point, this is, I'll tell you, the most complete element of this team is their defensive line. I've never seen anything like this, man. This is not scheme. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if the one angle people are saying is, if Brock Purdy and the 49ers can't get things going early, and the Eagles can, this could be over quick. That defense doesn't allow teams to come back. Is that an angle?
Yes, absolutely. And it's something that Brock Purdy and this team really hasn't had to do. It's just, this is the Eagles' recipe for success. And think about it. Oh, yeah, get up 10 points, get up 14 points, you win the game. How often have you, Ron, anybody that pays attention to this game, scoffed at the notion that a football game's over at 14-0 halfway through the first? This year, again, anomalies, things happen, the 1%, whatever you want to call it. This year, the Eagles are up 14-0 in the first quarter, the game's over. That all goes back to, you cannot scheme against four grown men who are winning one-on-one battles to the tune in which each of these four men have double-digit sacks. You cannot scheme against that.
12-0 when they run the ball for over 100 yards. Big deal, little deal, no deal for a one-shot game.
It's everything. It's everything. This is the Super Bowl. And I know, like, what are you talking about, man? It's not the Super Bowl. No. This is the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles have to run Jalen Hurts as they have been this year. And I think that's why you didn't see him much do anything in that final game of the regular season. That's why he was held back, thankfully, because they were up so much against the Giants. But this is Jalen Hurts' time, and this is Jalen Hurts moving with the football. This is Jalen Hurts running and creating space in that defense. If Jalen Hurts is running and physically creating space with his legs on the field, Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell, and Boston Scott are fine behind that massive offensive line. Oh, by the way, you had a 10-point lead? Forget it.
Dallas Goedert, how important is he? We know about George Kittle. What about Dallas Goedert?
Yeah. So this is where somebody woke George Kittle's ass up, and I don't know who did, but if you find out, please tell me, because this is the fear I have. The 49ers can win this game. George Kittle, 180, 7 grabs, 2 touchdowns. I don't care what happens, anything else what happens. If that's a stat line you see, that means the Eagles center field and really deep to midfield of their defense has been gashed. And that's been their problem. That's been their one area that you can attack with a competent tight end and quarterback combination. Now, we're talking about Brock Purdy. I know he hasn't turned into a pumpkin, all that other stuff. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. He's going to be able to make throws to George Kittle. Kittle is the better tight end. Let's not pull any punches here. Kittle is a monster. Dallas Goedert, on the other hand, he has an interesting role in this offense because he doesn't need the outside receivers, Tony, to have a big game in order to open something up for him. In fact, depending on how the defense plays Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert, you may see the Eagles forcing throws to Dallas early to soften up the outside and bring some extra help there. So Goddard is, you know, Goddard's a top five, I'd say, top six NFL tight end when he's healthy. It's just, you know, George Kittle got, he had a couple of weeks where he wasn't doing anything, and everybody was like, oh, George Kittle, that guy's a monster.
Eton, love you, brother. Thank you so much. Great insight as always, my friend.
I'm happy to. Thank you, brother.
You got it, man. Eton Shander. Good stuff. Energy. Remember when you said, Ron, that, you know, because I was a little under the weather this morning, and you were like, well, Eton's coming on. He'll probably perk you up.
Yeah.
Hey, perks you up. That's what he does. Like I said, I'm fighting through a whatever.
That might be a bigger skill.
But now I feel a lot better. I know, right?
not all the Philly knowledge. That just right. when he comes on, you just feel better.
It's remarkable how he put that in the very beginning in sort of a way, just to sort of paraphrase. It's like, We win, but we're winning in a way that's not sustainable. We got to do something else. That's hard for GMs to do, man.
Yeah.
When you're doing the parade and they're building a statue and you got the trophy and you're making the banners and everyone's talking about you and everyone's excited and all of that, and you still have to go into that room and go, yeah, but can we do this again, really? Can we really? No, we can't. This, some things are going to have to change down the road. And I think what you're seeing this weekend is the ability to fight through that urge and do something different.